Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Hey, welcome all to FSHD Society Radio Show. This is the Hot Off the Press edition. Bringing it to you fast and quick. Boom. A lot of information. Awesome. Hitting you hard. We have Lee Reynolds here, and welcome, Lee. Thanks for joining
us. Hey, Tim. Nice to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of really like us being in the same room, so now I sort of hate that there's a screen between us, but
I know.
Yeah. I'll adjust. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the last time that we did this together, we were sharing the same airspace, and
we were
in the same area. It was awesome. The Connect conference was fantastic. All the things
pretty awesome, wasn't it?
That went into it. Oh my gosh, I cannot imagine the kind of work that was done prior to, and then the big days.
It was days of it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's by the time you showed up, we'd already been there for most of the week because we had the industry collaborative ahead of time. Then we went to the International Research Congress. The IRC has been doing that for a number of years, bringing all the stakeholders together to talk about the state of the science, and then the Patient Connect conference. So
yes. And that's when I stepped in and met some amazing people and shook a lot of hands, had a lot of great conversations, and got to spend some time with you, Lee, face to face, along with so many other people in the FSHD Society. That was great.
Well, and you were a great window for the world into the conference, right? It was so neat
to
see people tuning in online and engaging on Facebook and sort of seeing the conference happen behind us. It was really fun.
Yeah, I hope that they liked that. I mean, I actually got some comments that they liked the view. They liked watching people walk by and activity, and they felt like they were there.
Well, that was the goal. So
that's the goal.
Check the box. We did
check
it. Good. That was good. That was what we were hoping for.
But there were a lot of big things that were talked about, you know. One is the pact, right?
Yes.
What is that again, right? Because those might not know. I don't know how you don't know, folks. I mean, it's right there, front page now on the homepage, fshdsociety.org.
Yeah.
You can learn about it. It was talked about. It was introduced, right, in Florida. So
it was.
Where are we now? Yeah.
It was. So PACT stands for Patients Accelerating Clinical Trials. And that it also is a dual meaning, right? So it's the acronym, but it also is, we feel very strongly at the FSHD Society that we have made a pact with you, the patients and family members and the community, to do all that we can to bring, treatments and a cure to families sooner rather than later. We've got to move progress along. That's the motivating factor behind everything that we do. And so, a few years ago, we started what we call the Therapeutic Accelerator, and that was identifying, that was came born out of the very first sort of industry collaborative and some research congress, international research congress meetings to say, how can we identify what some of the barriers are to progress and how do we lower them, minimize them, get them the heck out of the way? How can we bring everybody around the table? And that's where a lot of our research initiatives over the last 5 to 10 years have really come from, has really from those conversations. And the research has evolved to a place now where we can't get much further along without really more active and engaged participation from the patients. And so as you head into stage 1, 2, and then 3 clinical trials, and you're getting closer and closer to what we all hope is that first ever FDA approved therapy, we really need more and more patients and family members involved in that process. We simply can't do it without them. So that's really where PACT, the Patients Accelerating Clinical Trials program, was born. Some of these initiatives have already been going on. We just wanted to wrap them under an umbrella that sort of brought them all together, made it easier for people to understand. And under that PACT umbrella, we have a couple of big initiatives that we're working on that, as you mentioned, we had whole presentations on these things at the Connect conference. Those recordings, by the way, are going to be made available here shortly. In August sometime, anyone who was not able to tune in will have access to all of our general sessions and a lot of these presentations And we'll push those out here in the next few weeks. But there's really a couple of main things. One, I think a lot of people have heard of, and that's our Test FSHD program. So that is a program that Jamshed and June have worked incredibly hard on to create the infrastructure that is needed to allow patients to request and receive a full genetic screen to test for FSHD. So in order to participate, currently the standard to participate in clinical trials is that you need to have a genetic test that verifies your FSHD diagnosis. That right. can be very right. difficult, right? A lot of people really struggle to get that genetic test done. Doctors don't think it's necessary. They don't necessarily know where to go to request it. If you get through the screening on a trial, then the industry partner of ours, the pharmaceutical company that is putting on the trial, can run that test for you. And very much that's what they often do. Right. But as we get to more and more trials, if you want to be faster through the queue and higher up in the list and more readily able to participate and to speed up the timeline and reduce the cost and all of those things, you have to be able to get a genetic test. And so we've set up an entire system and structure where you can go in and you can request an appointment with a genetic counselor that is completely free to you. There is no cost to anyone involved. That's all covered through some partners and that are helping us fund that. You get the genetic counseling. You can then decide if you want to proceed. You then get we actually have a mobile phlebotomist that will, they'll set up an appointment, come to your house to draw the blood and send it off and get the test results and then set up a follow-up appointment with you to go through all the genetic results and with you. And then there you go. You've got a full genetic makeup. They'll talk about the pros and the cons, you know, of having that full genetic test done. But I would say that if you really want to be ready and able to participate in clinical trials, this is a big, you know, big plus to get done. And so the exciting thing is we have the funding for 150 people in our pilot program. We are closing in. We're at 120 people. So we only have a few spots left for those tests that are completely free and covered. After that, the system stays in place. The structure of the program stays in place. And people can come and our partner in that, Genome Medical, who does all the genetic counseling, they know, they have experts on their team that know how to work the system and get insurance to approve it. Or they also have some additional funding streams they might tap into for you. Or if it needs to be out of pocket, they help reduce the costs for that. So that system will continue to stay in place after the pilots that we are able to currently fund. When that funding runs out, but that there's not much left on that. We only have spots for, you know, a handful more of people. So if you're interested, now's the time to go to fshdsociety.org/testfshd and it'll give you all the information and you can go from there. So that's very exciting.
And let me stress to people that is very, very important with the genetic counselor. That's a piece of this. That's huge because they're giving you that advice, kind of advising. I mean, I have FSHD, as many know, but my boys were not sure. We were borderline, you know, told not maybe a good idea yet just because of XYZ reasons. So make sure that you talk to that counselor. They know a lot of different viewpoints, vantage points that you might not have thought of. It's really key. And I think that part of that component is huge. That's offered.
Absolutely.
Too.
We do not want anyone walking into this process not fully aware of the pros and the cons of having a full genetic test for FSHD done. It also, they test for one and two. A lot of tests that you get done now, they'll only run through FSHD one. And then once you kind of hit that marker, they stop. So you don't always get the full results. So in addition to providing the service and that, I think that genetic counseling piece is so, so important. We've had some people that have done the first genetic counseling session and said, you know what? I think maybe this is not for me. No harm, no foul. There's no charge. There's no cost to them. We'd rather they make that informed, really informed decision. So that's why that was a really important part of this, this program. It's a really important piece of it, but we're also, we will then be studying the results of that. So what is it? It's rare to get that full makeup to run for one and two. And so we then will be studying that information and how many people have one or two and both. And is there a difference in the combination? We're now getting into science things. I know nothing about. Jamshid Arjaman's PhD, chief science officer. He knows about that. He's going to take care of that. I just know it's an important part, a neat part of the program that we're also going to see what we can learn from those genetic tests along the way. We don't know your results. So let me also be clear. They don't release that to us. They don't release that to anybody. Those are your results and yours alone. It's de-identified information is what we're looking at. So just to see what if there's any learnings to be made from that as well. So that's Test FSHD. That's pretty exciting stuff. And that program, that pilot part, is coming to a close. And so I wanted to make sure your many, many listeners knew that if they wanted to get in on that,
now's the time.
Guaranteed. Yeah, now's the time. So the other thing, the big thing that we sort of talked about there that is, hot and heavy going on right now is this true cost of FSHD study. That is a survey-based study that June Kinoshita and Jamshid Arjaman have organized and pulled together. This is the first of its kind. There has never been a study done in the United States or I think anywhere that tell us what does it actually cost someone in lost wages, in additional, have you had to make modifications on your home? Do you need in-home support? Do you need learn how to drive with modifications to your car, AFOs, on and on and on, all the things, those costs, the fully loaded cost. What is the impact on your life when you are living a life impacted by FSHD? Why does that matter? It matters closer to bringing treatments to market, which we have. A lot of high hope. There's still a way to go, but we have more and more companies entering all the time. We've got a lot of shots on goal. We've got a lot of smart people working on a solution and more clinical trials happening. When the day comes that that first therapy is approved, there then has to be, there's payer information. Are the insurance companies going to pay for it? What is it going to cost? What is a cost that's got the ROI, right? So I'm completely making these numbers up, but nobody quote me on these numbers. They're not real. They're not real. But let's say for example, it's $1 million and you take this drug and it stops FSHD. That sounds crazy on its face that it's $1 million. But when this study shows that, it may be, but the cost of living with FSHD is $500,000 a year, or over your lifetime, it's $500,000, or the dramatic impact of lost wages and increased costs for someone who's living with FSHD. Then you go, it's totally worth it. Not only is it worth it to put patients on this drug, but we want to get it in as many of their hands as possible. We want doctors prescribing it. We want it affordable. We want to reimburse for it, and we want patients to have it. So it sort of opens up the pipeline to get it in patients' hands because they're weighing out, the cost benefit analysis. And so again, a lot of people that are a lot smarter than me could probably explain that in greater technical terms and more correct terminology, but it is a really important study. And everyone says, anyone that's in the ecosystem of drug development, therapeutic development, all the really smart people in the room that are not me, they all say, man, we really need this done. It's so important that we can assess what it really costs. It just, it's combined with payer data. So it's not just the survey, but June and Jamshid are doing a ton of work to go in and assess insurance company data and other payer information we can get access to. Again, all de-identified. But that's just going to allow us to publish an informed study that will then inform government, insurance companies, and other decision makers. It'll give them some guidance on what really is the financial impact and what's the ROI of therapies as they come to market.
Yeah, it is important because this is another step of us being our own advocate.
100%.
FSHD Society is building that platform for us to do that. So the voice is a little louder, a little more directed properly. Exactly. We just have to fill in the gap. So, what happens, maybe people were going to ask, because, you know, if I'm on the website now, it's right there on the homepage, and then there's a very easy button to find up, enroll in the true cost of FSHD. And someone might ask, well, what happens after I sign up for the survey? You know, what starts happening? Maybe also, how long does it take?
Good questions. So it's a really short and simple sign-up form. It's just your very basic information so that we know that when the study is ready, we can send it direct to you and you're ready to go. So it means you don't miss it. So, and we like to know, we need to know we've got good numbers. You know, it has to be statistically valid. So we need to get as many people as possible. The more, the merrier. We have a little over 350 or so people that have signed up. We'd really like to be 600 to 1,000. That makes it an extremely robust study with a wide variety of people that will give us the best information. And we've done that before. We had about 700 plus people that participated in the voice of the patient when we did that one a few years ago. So we know we can get those numbers. So you sign up, very simple short form. Then sometime in mid-August, we think it'll be through all the vetting and regulations and be ready to go. You will get this, an email will be sent to you with a link to the survey. So we know who signs up for the survey, but once you click through to the survey, that is hosted on a completely different platform. We do not know any of your answers. None of your answers will be associated with your record with us. So all of your information is de-identified and protected. We are not poking around in there trying to figure out who said what. We don't know that. It's all just de-identified information. There's about 50 questions. And it might take a little homework to pause and go collect. Oh, I know I put a ramp on my house, but I don't remember what it costs. So you might have to have a little bit of off survey time to look up some of your answers to verify your numbers. But if you had that, we think maybe about an hour total, and you don't have to do it all in one time. So you can come back and you can do it at your own pace. You'll have a good couple of weeks to complete the whole thing. You'll get reminders along the way that the system will just say, hey, pick up where you left off. Let's get this finished. We're getting ready to close it. Don't forget to finish out. We do really need people to do the whole thing. So the questions are such a way that we need you, once you sign up and you're in, please complete the entirety of the survey in this window that we've given you. And again, doesn't have to be, you know, all in one place. Once we have all the answers and we start to compile, we have to munge them into a report. We have to cross-reference that with the payer data that we're getting. And when I say we, that is not me. That is Jamsheet and June that are doing all of that really important work with some experts in the field that we're also working with. To then produce the report that will provide the information, you know, that the government and the payer systems all need to make those informed decisions. So if you want more detail than that, June did an excellent presentation at FSHDU recently, and the recording of that is on that same landing page that takes you to the sign up. So if you want a little more detail before you sign up,
It is right there, folks. I mean, I was, as Lee was giving us the good information there, I sneakily clicked on the enroll in the true cost of FSHD. Mm-hmm. And unbeknownst to her, I've just registered now while we were doing this.
Yahoo!
That's how fast it was. She had no idea.
I had no clue.
It's that fast. So, I mean, granted, I had all the self-populated buttons, right? Granted, so it was really a couple clicks. But even if it wasn't, you're talking about a minute and a half, you know, for those that have, you know, that self-populated stuff on their computer already going. But it's easy. So there's no excuses for that. Yes, the video is right there if you want to know more of the details. There's a great Q&A section here, kind of answering like those hot topic questions that people might have.
Yep.
But I think it's really simple. I love the autosave capability where, okay, it's saving it and then I can come back and continue just in case you can't sit down for an hour straight and get it done. Yep. We get that. It sounds like FSHD Society understands, kind of taking all the difficulties out of the process here. So
that was the goal. Let's remove all the barriers to participation, make it as easy as possible, and then get the answers we need to have the greatest impact we can. So we want to make sure that when that first therapy gets approved and comes to market, that it gets to as many patients as possible. We want it in your hands. We want it through your insurance company. We want it covered. And so all of these projects are about advancing the research and the science and the discovery and, you know, how do we get therapies, pills, shots, whatever it is. How do we get treatments to patients? We got it. You know, we don't want to wait until the treatment is here to do this stuff. We got to do
right,
it now.
Right. And there is the segue to this next question there. The fact that you're even talking about it, the preparation part, talking about costs, I mean, that says that, like, okay, we're getting closer and closer and closer.
Yeah. I mean,
like, what would be the reason for collecting this information now if we didn't see, like, we better start getting this now?
Yeah, if we didn't have, you know, 20 companies plus in the space, and, you know, a lot of your folks probably saw the announcement a couple of weeks back that Epic Bio is now in the space.
Yeah.
And they, we don't know all the details yet. We're going to continue to have conversations with them and try to bring some more information to everyone about exactly what Epic Bio is doing and where they are in the space. But I know they're using CRISPR technology, which is very, very promising. And they think they'll be starting their first phase 1 trial in 2023. That'll be small. Wow. It'll only be, you know, we're guessing, you know, maybe a couple dozen people in a phase 1 trial, but it will then move on, you know, from there. And they're not the only ones. So we've got Fulcrum is already starting to enroll people in their trial. We've got others that are on the heels. And then we have Epic Bio that just entered. And so the pace is picking up, right? It's the speed is picking up. The number of, here's what I always say about, you know, what I love about research and therapy development is with some other industries, once somebody is the first to market, everybody goes, they already got that, you know, and people leave and move on to something else. There aren't a ton of companies making crock pots because how many people need to make a crock pot, right? Like, that's a thing. It's done. There's not a ton you can do to improve the crock pot. It's not like a bunch of companies making crock pots, right?
Right, right.
Scientific discovery and therapeutic development is very different. Once you get closer, everybody, it's like moths to a flame, right? Yeah. And so in my very unscientific review, but almost 30 years of working in single disease space, nonprofit disease space, and having worked with a couple of organizations right when they got therapies on the market, you know, it's a game changer. And the more you see people coming into the field, that to me is an indicator of the promise and the progress. And so, you know, for us, we don't want to slow down the pace at all. We got to speed up and keep moving forward. And we're all about how do we knock down the hurdles? How do we not, wherever they may be, you know, what can the FSHD Society do to knock down a hurdle, to bring more people to the table, to have the conversation and to move the field forward for all the amazing people, you know, that are working on it.
So absolutely,
this is a piece of that.
So then we have all these things working, but at the same time, you're getting ready for the walk and roll event.
We are. So walk and rolls are in high swing, right? So all walk and rolls are across the country, across North America, because we have the United States and Canada. They're holding walk and rolls, and all that information is on the website. And you're probably already getting emails about it. People have already signed up to register. People are starting to fundraise and do their own social media and email campaigns. We have a goal this year of raising a cool million for combined efforts for the walk and roll to help fund all of these things that we've just been talking about. That helps get those things done. What I love about the walk and roll is it gives everybody immense power to be a part of making a difference. Very few of us can just write a check for $1 million. Very few of us, you know, can say, I'm going to start my own organization worth millions. And we love the people who do. Amazing. But most of us everyday schmoes here, like myself, you know, we can chip in our 25, 50, couple hundred bucks if it's a good month, you know, to a cause that we care about. The walk and roll is an effort that allows everyone to play a part. And $5 and $10 and $25 at a time, we all come together, everyone contributes. And that is, you know, the rock in the pond that has the big ripple effect. And it helps you tell your story. It helps more people come to know and understand and care and have empathy for FSHD and what it is, And it puts fuel in the tank that's going to keep us moving towards treatments and a cure. That's what the walk and roll is for. It's about putting fuel in the tank that's going to get us to treatments and a cure. And earlier this month, we had our team captain happy hour, and a whole bunch of team captains from across the country got together, and we shared some ideas and tips and tools for team captains on how to really just knock their walk and roll effort out of the park. And we'll be releasing the video of that on the walk and roll page. You know, there's lots of it's not rocket science, but there is a science to it. There are tried and true things that you can do to make your personal team and fundraising efforts more successful and work. And we just kind of lay those out in our materials. And we talked about them at the team captain happy hour. And it works. I've seen it work for multiple decades of my work experience and personally in my own life. You know, I've been a top fundraiser for a lot of the causes that I have. My youngest son's autistic, so I raise money for autism charities frequently, and all the little tips and tricks we have in there, they just work. And it does. Everybody can have an impact, right? Now, Tim, you jumped into the Walk and Roll fundraising pool last year, you know, and how did you do, and what did you think about it?
It was easy. Yeah. I'm big on easy, Lee. Have you realized this, everybody? Man, you know, because I'm spinning a lot of plates. I love doing the show, you know, but, you know, I have other stuff too.
Yeah, quite a few things. Yes,
and the fact that I could sit there on my phone watching, like, I think, you know, whatever nonsense on television, and it just, like, hits me. That's how my brain works. Oh, I should really register. I should really do the walk and roll. Or, you know, as you're going through, you see on your Facebook thing, you know, oh, why don't you create a walk and roll? Oh, yeah, I could do that. And I think it was only, like, maybe 5 or 10 clicks. It was done.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. I literally said out loud, that's it. My wife goes, what's it? I just did the walk and roll. I just created something there for the fundraising.
Created your little fundraising page, yeah. And you pushed it out, and you raised, you know, more than a little bit of spare change.
Oh, man. Yeah. Like, wow. And then of course I told my mother this, how easy it was. And then I got scolded because she said, see, if you would have put more effort into it, you could have raised more money.
That sounds like what my dad would have said to me.
Yes. Yeah. So she said, maybe we'll do a little better. And so now she wants the link, or she wants to be able to figure out how to do it too. And then she goes, I'll help you. I will help you. I'll make it louder. Okay. Okay.
Awesome. So are you guys registered yet on that. This year? Have you registered?
No,
yet?
Of course I'm not.
This is your official scolding.
I'm glad you called me out.
You, yeah. And many others that are in our fine listening audience, go register fshdsociety.org/walkroll. That's it. Go there. There's a little interactive map. You can find the walk that's nearest you. If there isn't one in your area, you can sign up for the national virtual walk and roll. And that makes it super easy. It gives you all the fundraising tools online. And then you can walk in your neighborhood, your backyard, you know, with friends in the park. We've got little groups that do that. The challenge with a rare disease like FSHD is that we're spread out, right? And so people that are impacted, it's not like you're going to have, you know, a bunch of people in your neighborhood that are directly impacted. So sometimes it can feel like you're out there on your own and you're really spread out. But one of the great things is that this makes the world a little smaller when you can start to share your story and connect in a way that people want to help. I believe people are by default genuinely good people who want to help. There's some jerks out there, but most of us are good people.
Yes.
And most people want to be given an opportunity to help someone they care about. And the walk and roll does that. But then on September 17th this year, you and I will be back here with this witty banter we do. And we'll be doing our 4-hour coast-to-coast walk and roll celebration.
Which is so much fun. Yes.
It's so cool because people all over North America in big groups and little groups and duos and groups of 15 and groups of 150.
Yes. It's just amazing. Yeah. And we just like pop in.
Right.
I remember popping in. I don't know if it was in Texas. Maybe it was there.
Are you talking about when Ashley had it on the big screen and she was watching
and I
us?
Scared the heck out of myself because I just got a glimpse of my gigantic head on their screen. I'm like, why would you do that?
Yeah, but it was cool. They loved it.
But it was cool. And they were totally checked in. So that means they were watching what was going on as we were going from walk to walk. really kind of bridging everybody together. It was so cool.
I love that day so much because when we first did that, it was, what are we going to do? It's a pandemic. We can't have in-person walks. How are we going to salvage this? How are we going to save this campaign that was in its infancy? And it was sort of the Hail Mary. We thought, I don't know, let's see if it works. Right. And you graciously said, okay, I'll do that. I mean, I think I volunteered you randomly in a meeting and you had no clue. And I was like, yeah. Thankfully you said yes.
I think it's probably happened a couple times now where
I do that. You know, too.
You're kind of my agent a little bit that way. Where you're like, maybe. You know what? I think I got somebody.
Yeah, I do.
I have someone in mind that would do this. Yeah. And it was a great idea. And it works.
It was amazing. So we had no idea how it would work. And everybody kept saying, you know, Lee, give us all the details how it's going to work. And I was like, I don't know. I'm making it up. Just like with the conference, everybody kept saying, how are we going to do that? How's it going to work? I'm like, trust me, it'll be great. And I didn't really know what I was doing. But you are so good, Tim. You are so good that you just make it look so easy and engaging. And you're so comfortable and everybody loves to talk to you. And it's
draw them in,
awesome.
Man. Draw them in, you know, like a moth to the flame. They just can't help themselves.
So when we went back to in-person events, we was like, well, we got to keep that. Everybody told us all across the country, we got to keep that party and that sense of community and camaraderie from coast to coast and north to south to east to west. I mean, people just loved it. So it really is a North American celebration because we include our friends to the north in Canada and now, and that's a really cool day, but it's all to celebrate the impact that people can have when a whole bunch of individuals come together and everybody pitches in their little bit, you know, that they can do. The sum is greater than its parts, you know, and that's a really awesome thing to be a part of. And that's what's happening with the Walk and Roll. That is what's going to happen with the PACT program and all of the patient engagement programs that go into those patients accelerating clinical trials. Even if you're never in a clinical trial, your information, your voice will impact positively that progress towards getting treatments and a cure because you are the expert. Those with FSHD are the experts on their condition, and we need you speaking into the path forward and the process. And that's what we're trying to do through our PACT initiatives. And then through the Walk and Roll, it's a way to continue to, you know, to put the rocket fuel in the engine, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Another way for your voices to be heard. That is
absolutely
the way. From the voice of the patient to the PACT to the Walk and Rolls. That's what it's all about. You know, it's kind of a common theme there. Absolutely. Well, this is fun, Lee. This is good. I'm glad we got to reconnect again.
Well, thanks for letting me, you know, come take over the show a little bit here. You're a good.
I like it.
You're good to put up with me, Tim. And, you know, we try to keep this hot up the press show. We try to keep it sort of single topic and just really what's the big hot ticket item. The challenge right now is there's more than one. And so if somebody's looking for a way to engage and to be a part of the solution and to raise their voice and be heard, and you know, there is a way for you to plug in. We've got it, and we need you. We need patients. We're really trying to create a movement here. You know, it's not about one-off activity here and there. It's about how do we, it's the rising tide that lifts all ships, and we just are creating the opportunity, you know, for the tide to rise and for voices to be elevated and all of those things. But we'd be dead in the water without patients and families being engaged and involved.
Absolutely. Well said. Right. Well said. Way to take it home, Lee. Yes, you should. Way to take it home. So if you want to find out more, visit fshdsociety.org. It is all there. Yep. It is easy to do. Get involved, get engaged. This is your community.
That's right. Thanks so much, Tim.
Thank you, guys.